Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Diehards, it's Monday. It's time to go out and make a f-ing sale. Do you know the hardest door to open in sales is your car door? Why don't you get your ass in the car and go out and make a few sales calls? I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote the book, Get Shit Done. It's Monday. Go get shit done.
Thanks, Jeffrey. I'm Jen Gittimer, author of Sales in a New York Minute, and it's time. We're so excited you've joined us today because we have an amazing episode. Take a listen.
And we're live.
Are we live?
We've been sitting here for 3 hours waiting to go live, and finally, shit, the thing worked.
Yeah, I don't know about that, you guys.
No, we've been here for about 7 minutes. But it looks like we've been here for a long time because the mugs are here, computer's here. We're set. We're ready to go. Welcome to another live Facebook edition of Sell or Die. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote The Little Red Book of Selling. I wrote Get Shit Done. And a bunch of other stuff, and I'm joined by my wife.
Hello, hello. I'm Jen Gittimer, and I'm the author of Sales in a New York Minute. Thank you guys for joining us. We have an amazing episode planned for you.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
No. Oh, yeah. it's unbelievable. This is going to be, actually, it's going to be pretty damn good.
It was inspired by you guys, because last time on Facebook Live when we were recording, and one of our viewers asked a question about sales process.
We call them diehards.
Yes, one of our diehards.
Okay,
sorry.
Cool.
And asked a question about sales process, and we thought, oh, that's a whole other topic than what we're talking about right now, and we'd love to share with you our sales process because it's so different than what the other supposed gurus out there are teaching you, and it's one that actually works.
Well, it's only worked for me for the past 40 years. I'm not really sure if it will work for you. I'm going to do it another 40 years, and then that's it. I'm going to quit. But I think it's important for you to understand that it is not a system. It is simply a process, or if you're from Canada, a process. Because the challenge that you have is if you have a system, you have to remember where you are in the system. If you're spin selling or strategic selling bullshit, it's more about you and where you are rather than helping that customer win.
So when I was in a sales manager, I got trained on a lot of the processes and we then had to implement it with our teams, and people would be on these like check-in, you know, pipeline calls with me being like, okay, well, I'm at stage 4.4 in the process. I'm like, what the hell is that? And I was the one who got trained on it, right? I'm like, this is crazy. This is not how I ever sold. Like, it's not realistic.
Right.
You shouldn't be in the sales meeting thinking like, am I on stage 4 right now? Or am I on stage 5? That's crazy town. That's not actually going to help you make the sale.
And no one uses it.
No.
And you immerse people in 4 days worth of training and they come back and do whatever the hell they want anyway.
They'll
eventually revolve back or evolve back to what is comfortable to them. People will do what's comfortable for them. And my challenge for you as a salesperson wanting to grow or a sales manager wanting to help other salespeople get better is don't worry about memorization of where you are in a system of selling. It's bullshit. And try to do something that allows you to transfer your message. In other words, the other person says, I get it, I agree with it, I think I can do it, I'm willing to try it, that creates transference, and put yourself in a position where you're real with the other person. If you're not real, who the hell wants to talk to you or deal with you?
I don't know. Okay, before we go any further, if you think that this conversation is going to be useful to you and useful to other people you know, please invite both your friends to join our conversation. Please share this out, invite your friends so that we can get this party started.
Yeah. And we have a share. Somebody's already shared it.
Yeah, I think it may have been us.
It may have been, right,
yeah,
probably.
It was us. So,
okay, cool.
So we need your help. Get this out to your friends. And let us know you're here, because we don't see your hellos.
We
usually
there.
Get
you're
your hellos. Blake,
in.
What's up, Blake? Hey, hey.
Okay, so we put ourselves out there on a live podcast so that you can take it and get ahead of your competitors, or you could just check in on Monday when we put it up there, and you can be one step behind your competitor. So you might want to mark your calendar.
For our Facebook Lives?
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you're joining us on the podcast, we love you nonetheless.
Yeah, true.
We really love our diehards, no matter where you're joining us
so
from.
So let's look at you and what you have learned to do, because some of you have learned the challenger sale. Some of you have learned the spin selling sale. Some of you have learned strategic selling. And I'm challenging you,
Miller Hyman.
Yeah, that if you learned it, you probably don't use it. And the reason you don't use it is because it's not comfortable for you. You're taught to follow a certain pattern, and every single one of your customers is different. Every single one of your presentations is different. So I'm only looking at you from a standpoint of what can you do that keeps you comfortable but still achieves your goal of making the sale.
Joe, you just won a new book because you were the first person besides us to share this out. Way to go, Joe. Just DM me your address and we will be mailing you a copy of Get Shit Done.
That will be autographed.
That's right.
So the one I'm dead, you can go on eBay.
Thank you for sharing. Tom, welcome. Anand, thank you for joining us from Mumbai. How cool. Wow. And Tom, stop sitting in the back row. We need you in the front row.
Exactly. So let me share with you how most people had learned sales through the years. You were taught open, probe, which I don't understand, probe. I think it's something that the doctor does when you go for an appointment.
Something that sounds really uncomfortable.
He probed me, right. then you present, and then the customer, the prospect, will put up an objection, and then you have to overcome the objection, and then you close the sale. Or you get asked for a proposal, and you say, oh, shit, and you have to go back home and send a proposal out. That's an old way of looking for it. And in the meantime, there are some structures that are involved where you may have to cold call somebody, mm-hmm. and there's a how-to on a cold call. And then something that I'm violently opposed to, where the salesperson is taught to find the pain. Now, that was okay in 1973, but it's now 40 years later. It's time to do other shit with your sales call so that you can be perceived as new. And oftentimes the find the pain part is none of your business. Somebody says, well, what keeps you up at night? It's none of your business. Somebody asks, what's your biggest problem? It's none of your business until you've established some kind of rapport. So the easiest thing that I've found over the years is let's reverse that and find the pleasure. What do you like to do? What do you have in common? Are both of your kids in a T-ball league? Did you go to the same school? Are you rooting for the same sports team? Do you drive the same kind of car? Do you go to the same kind of places on vacation? Find something that links you to the other person, even if it's adversarial.
The ironic thing about that is that when you do find the pleasure and you create the link, they will ultimately tell you their pains without you trying to seek the pain out. Like, it will just come out in conversation because they feel comfortable with you.
So let's look at it from a standpoint of the adversarial finding the pleasure. I'm a football fan. The other guy's a football fan. I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan. He may be a Dallas Cowboys fan. That makes it even more fun. Because I can tell him, you know, I hate the Cowboys.
And Jeffrey will tell him that.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I'll tell him when the Giants are playing the Cowboys, I root for injuries. And it sounds a little bit harsh, but it's kind of funny. And a football person will understand that and smile at it. Now we've taken it a little bit deeper because I can say, remember this game, remember that game. Remember when you had to win and we beat you and you watched it from your living room, watched the Super Bowl from your living room instead of on the field. Those are the kinds of things that develop real rapport. their friendship rapport building things, not pain, what's your biggest problem. Dude, it's none of your business what my biggest problem is. None of your business. And then you even make it worse by saying, do you have a budget? That's none of your business either. My budget is none of your business.
By the way, I actually like to ask, what's your budget? But I only do that once. They're ready to tell me.
Sure. Have you set aside funds for this? Mm-hmm. Instead of what's your budget? That's a much more genteel way of doing it.
So wait, we... Blake and Anand, if you both send me your mailing address, you too will win a copy of Get Shit Done because you have invited your friends to join us in the conversation.
Yeah.
So way to go. Thank you. Oh, wow. A lot of people are on here now sharing this out. I love it. Thank you. Thank you. Ziggy, what's up? Harry, hello. Thank you guys for joining us. Make sure you say hey to us. And if you're watching the replay, give us a little hashtag replay so that we know you're here.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about some of the other stupid things that you do.
Or that you're told to do by stupid people.
Yeah.
Let's go there.
I want you to think about close the sale versus earn the sale. When you go to a department store, do you go to get sold a dress? When you go to a car dealership, do you go to get sold a car? No, you go to buy. I'm going to buy a dress. I'm going to buy a car. You don't get sold groceries at the grocery store. You have a list and you buy what you want to buy. Now, I'm looking at this from a standpoint of what are you doing within the structure of your sales presentation that creates that buying atmosphere? People don't like to be sold, but they love to buy. That is the trademarked registered phrase of mine that has been solid for me for the past 30 years. And it needs to be solid for you as well from a standpoint of recognition. People don't like to be sold, but they love to buy. What are you doing that helps other people actually buy? Or are you trying to, well, this is really good, and a lot of our customers, let me give you the five features. I don't want to know the five features unless I want to know them. You see, if the customer doesn't ask you something about it, don't be telling them stuff that may be superfluous. You don't have to go on ad nauseum. Oh, please look at my boring slides. Yeah, I only have 25 of them.
I call it the show up and throw up. Like when a salesperson or an entrepreneur walks in the door and they're so excited about all their stuff and they literally like, hey, yeah. Jeffrey, I'm so glad you're going to meet with me today. Thank you for taking the time. Now, let me tell you all about me. And they literally like show up and throw up all of their information. No one wants that. Didn't you like interrupt? Where were we? Where you interrupted a sales meeting?
Yeah.
And the guy like was totally not interested and you pointed it out to the salesperson.
Can I tell the whole story?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
I'm in Houston at a big hotel. And I just come from a Houston Astros game where, to give you a date and time, Roger Clemens was the pitcher. They had just paid Roger Clemens $16 million to pitch for the Houston Astros for a year. I did the math. It comes out to $4,000 a pitch. Wouldn't it be cool if they paid him after every pitch? Strike one, $4,000, Roger, and then they run back. So I go back to the hotel, and I'm walking through the lobby, and I see two guys sitting at a table. One guy has a computer, and the other guy's kind of there. And this guy's like clicking his slides, going through the slides, and the other guy is literally looking someplace else.
This was pre-cell phones, right?
No.
Cell phones were out? I'm surprised the other guy wasn't on his phone.
I don't know what era we were. Well, let's look up when Roger Clemens played. And the cell phone, I think, is 10 years old. So I stop and I interrupt the people. I go, I said, what are you doing here? And the guy's like shocked. He said, well, I'm making a presentation. I said, yeah, but this guy's paying no attention. So I looked at the guy. I go, are you buying or not? He goes, yeah, I'm probably going to do something. I said, so, dude, it's over. Your boring presentation is over. Close the sale. And I walked away. Most salespeople don't know when to stop. Please don't buy yet. I'm not done my presentation. Seriously? It's because you've asked no questions. Right. You don't know if that person is interested or ready. Sometimes people come and they've already made a decision. There isn't one thing in your boring-ass presentation that your marketing department put together that someone couldn't Google and find out in advance. And if they're interested, they've already done the research on their own. So my recommendation is send your slides the day before and tell the customer, look, these are my boring slides. Take a look through them. As you have questions, write them down because I'm going to be happy to answer them. But I'm planning on spending my hour dedicated to you, your profitability, your productivity, and how you can get more things done so that when you take ownership of our stuff, you're going to love it.
Oh.
That forces you to walk in prepared for the other person instead of walking in with a bunch of shit about you that means nothing. Okay. So I'm looking at you. I don't want you to close the sale. I want you to earn the sale. I don't want customer satisfaction. I want customer loyalty. I want someone who's going to buy from you, buy again, and tell other people to come do business with you. That's what I want.
I think, like, let's just go back to close the sale for a sec. I think that the reason so many people go around thinking that sales is sleazy or icky or uncomfortable is because they've been taught you have to close the sale. And when you're in that situation where you feel like someone's trying to close you,
you know
that is uncomfortable and sleazy and icky, rather than what we're going to talk about in a second, which is the real process to go by and how it can just feel so much more natural so you don't have to feel like you're trying to close someone.
So I'm in Neiman Marcus. And I'm in the dressing room trying on shirt. And I said, hey, can I try on a pair of these pants to go with the shirt? I'm not going to buy the pants, so I just want to. And they said, okay, fine. So I'm looking at the pants. It's $238 for a pair of pants. So I walk out, and the sales guy's there. And I said, aren't you embarrassed to get $238 for a pair of pants? And the guy goes, well, I used to feel that way too. But when I felt the pants on, I go, wait a second. Are you using feel, felt, found on me? And the guy goes, yeah. I said, how long have you been doing that? And he said, 25 years. I said, dude, you're pissing people off.
Now, not everyone can recognize that.
No, that's true. But I'm telling you, you're going to
feel
it.
You might not know it's like a process that people have learned, but you can feel how icky it is.
Yeah. So the guy, the sales guy, of course, challenges me. He said, well, what would you say? I said, well, Mr. Jones, if you want to look like a million, sometimes you got to spend a few hundred. And he goes, well, that's not bad. What else you got? Now the guy's following me all around.
Oh, man.
But that's the challenge that you have. Your challenge is to be perceived as somewhat different, somewhat better than the other person, and you can't use a system of bullshit or old world sales tactics because they don't work anymore. Don't find my pain, please. If I need something, I'll share it with you, but it may not be painful. My policy may be expiring in a month. That ain't a pain. That's a circumstance. And anyone who teaches you to find the pain, I either kick him in the groin or punch him in the face with a shovel. Those are my two recommendations for that process.
Let's say hey to some of you guys who are here.
Cool.
So
yeah,
Eduardo from Mexico.
Joshua.
Tim, we love you back. Thank you for being a diehard. Blake, Felipe from Mexico.
Harry.
We're scrolling the wrong way.
Okay, so.
Ziggy, thank you for sharing. You too win a book. You too win. Yeah. Get shit done. Thank you guys for inviting your friends to join us in the conversation.
By the way, in order for us to mail you a book, you have to live in America.
No, because someone won it from far away. Mumbai or something. But listen, just make sure you DM me your address so that we can send you the book. David from Texas, what's up? Thank you for joining us.
Texas is a big place, David. Is it a city or is it, do you live in the whole state?
When you're from Texas, you feel like you're from a different country. Like you're in, like, it's, you know?
That's true. So they got stars all over the state of Texas.
I respect it.
They got a flag. Janelle, good morning.
Harry says, loved the book. I read it, quit my job, and started my own business.
Whoa.
Woo! Way to go. What are you doing now, Harry? We want to know. Janelle, what's up? That's so awesome.
Now, let's talk about what works. The law of attraction is bullshit. If you ask anybody to explain the law of attraction to you, they'll probably go back to a book called The Secret, arguably one of the dumbest books ever written in the history of personal development. It tells you to eat potato chips on the couch and think about your Cadillac, and it will show up in your driveway.
So I disagree that the law of attraction is bullshit, just for the record, because I'm very woo. And I do believe in the law of attraction, but I don't believe in just like sitting back and hoping shit comes to you.
Right.
Like you're not going to attract it that way, but you have to put those energetic vibes out there and you have to tell the universe what you want. You have to put it out into the universe.
Yeah. So I've redefined the law of attraction. I simply call it value attraction. And value attraction tells you in two words what you need to put out in order to get back. If I put value out, someone might be attracted to me and want to connect with me based on my value or my perceived value, not simply me manifesting stuff and hoping that the prime minister...
Manifestation is real. I'm sorry, honey.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. Difference between men and women.
No, there are a lot of manifesting men out there.
Oh, I guarantee it. Yeah.
If you're a man manifester, let us know.
If you're a manifester and you still have a car payment, it's not working that good so far. So you may want to try.
That's not true. They have a car. Maybe they manifested that car. But I manifested my Tesla.
Yeah. And what?
And now I have a Tesla.
Okay. And what?
It came from manifestation. I one day envisioned, like, because we were sharing a car.
Yeah.
Because I sold my car, we were sharing a car. And then after 5 years, I kind of wanted my own car. And I started manifesting it and visualizing it. And I put out my vision board. And then, like, randomly.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
You wanted a Mercedes. I said, get a Tesla. Or do you not remember that conversation?
I do remember that. I still wish I had the Mercedes, you guys. Tesla's really cool, but I really liked my old car.
Bullshit. Mercedes. You have to put gas in it. Why do you put gas in a car? It's a 100-year-old process. Do something new.
I am. I got a Tesla.
Perfect.
It's
now,
cool.
Joe Castro is woo. What is that about? What is that, Joe?
No, he's saying I'm woo. He's saying woo to woo.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Because I said I was woo, and he said woo.
Oh, I got it. Okay, cool. That's his Ric Flair response.
Oh, man.
Now.
The secret forgets the work part. That's right. It does. And I'm not saying you can just, like, put shit out there and hope for it to come to you.
Right.
No, but you can't just... You have to put shit out to the universe. You have to state it. You have to manifest it.
And then you have to work your fucking ass off.
100%.
Okay,
yes.
So here's the deal. Open the book, The Secret. If you don't burn it in the winter for kindling, which is what I recommend, open it up to the last two pages, which are blank, and write down two words in Sharpie, work hard. If you do that, that defines the entire book and how it will end.
If you talk to a lot of manifestation people, and Joe's woo too, so thank you.
Yeah, great.
Sorry for the confusion.
No problem.
If you talk to most of the manifestation people out there right now who are like current, don't just say like, oh, just manifest that shit. Like they say you have to work hard, but you also have to envision it. You also have to manifest it. You have to think about and feel what it's going to be like once you have it.
60 years ago, Shakti Gawan wrote a book called Creative Visualization. Just buy it, and you don't need any of that bullshit. She'll talk to you about how to visualize what it is that you want, and then work for it, and then you'll get it.
I'll read it and report back.
There we go.
All right. Michael says, this is a breath of fresh air, getting shit done for real. Thanks. That's awesome. Harry left the auto industry after 24 years and opened a mattress by appointment. Oh, cool. That's awesome.
A mattress by appointment location. That's totally cool. So you like carry a mattress on your back into somebody's house and dump it on the ground and go, here, try this. Or you have them in your car. You have like a mattress van.
I think people make appointments to try mattresses.
Ah, Okay, cool.
That's my
That's a great idea, thought. And you're going to make much more money because mattresses are marked up double, and $20,000 cars are marked up $500.
Yeah, yeah.
Think about that. $500. It's nuts.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you can buy them for a dollar over invoice.
If you need like mattress testers, we accept free mattresses and for reporting purposes.
There's a store in Charlotte called Relax the Back. And they have all these mattresses, and it's Gabrielle's, who's 10 years old, favorite store to go to because she gets to jump on all the mattresses.
She jumps on all the beds, yeah, and they don't kick us out. It's amazing.
Well, we know the owner. He's a friend of ours. Anyway, and we bought a lot of stuff there. So
they have a showroom by appointment only. That's awesome.
So here's the deal. Value attraction is part one. That's how you get the lead. You don't cold call anymore. You value attract. Cold calling pisses people off. Value attraction means you have someone willing to listen to you and want to learn more about you. Just think about it. I mean, if you have 100 cold calls, you may make two connections, And even those people, you're going to piss them off because you've interrupted their day. They have other things to do. And I've cold called thousands of times, tens of thousands of times. And I'm telling you, my three-word definition for in the year 2020 is, for cold calling, waste of time. Everyone's already doing something. Everyone already owns what you have. Figure out a way to connect with them socially. Figure out a way to connect with them intellectually. Figure out a way to put value in front of them, and they will respond if they're interested, period. I don't need to be sold life insurance. I want to know how to live longer. And that's a pretty good example of what that process is. Now, how do you do that? How do you value attract? You socially attract. You can socially attract right now. You can, your blog or your email magazine or your podcast can be more powerful than the New York Times. From right here in our, we have a studio. We have 2 million downloads on this podcast. 2 million. Not counting all the people that watch it on Facebook. Not counting all the people that watch the repurposing of our content. I'm just talking about pure download from podcast. And we've been able to do it socially. And so can you. Don't tell me you can't do it. Look at what we're doing. And can you sophisticate it? Yeah, we're pretty sophisticated. And so what kind of mic are you using? Don't worry about that. Go to Amazon and just put best microphone for a podcast and 20 things will pop up. Buy one of them.
We have a recommended one. But here's the deal. It doesn't matter.
Right, exactly. Have a good guest. Don't worry about the microphone.
Worry about the content. Worry about how you're going to deliver it consistently. And then the tech stuff. But
so the third part of my process, we got value attraction, social attraction. The third part is find the pleasure, not the pain.
By the way, Jeffrey did a webinar earlier this week called Differentiate or Die. And as one of his 3.5 strategies, he talked about this manifesto sales process. So if you want to watch that webinar, we'll pop a link in here for you. And at the end of the webinar, he gives you a very special offer to attend a two-day event here in Charlotte that we're doing March 27th and March 28th with Jeffrey and various other amazing speakers who are going to talk about building your business, building, creating more sales, stuff like that. It's going to be an unbelievable event.
We will put a link in the show notes.
Yes, we will.
In fact, we're probably doing that as we speak. So value attraction, social attraction, find the pleasure, ask emotional-based questions. If you ask emotional-based questions, you can connect with someone emotionally. The example that I've used for years is you go into a real estate agent to buy a home, and the real estate agent will take you on a tour of the home and piss you off. This is the master bedroom. This is a walk-in closet. Seriously? No, you turn to the woman and say, will all your clothing fit in this closet? Let them visualize if this is the right kind of house for them, because I can promise you, she walks in the closet and says one of two things. My clothes won't fit in here, or my clothes will fit in here. Why not engage the person intellectually, emotionally, to find out if I need to continue this tour more than 5 more seconds? Got it? And when you're starting the tour, you can say, well, what kind of a budget, what kind of a home are you looking? Do you have a mortgage right now? No, that's none of your business. Let's assume they're looking for a house. And I, as a salesperson, I'm going to say, tell me about the bedroom that you grew up in. Now I've created peace and harmony and an emotional connection.
And see, most people teach you to just ask questions, but they don't teach you to ask emotional-based questions.
That's correct.
And that's the big differentiator there. Harry, yes, you get a book out of it. I don't know if it's because you shared or you want to give us a mattress, but for
we want
either,
the kind that goes up and down. We want that kind.
But for a mattress, you can have all the books and
and autographs.
Because you shared it, you can definitely get a book. So just DM me your address. And I think I saw that someone else, like Eric, I think, shared as well. So any of you guys who share, just DM me your address and we'll send you out a Get Shit Done book. Thank you. Thank you for sharing.
Once you have discovered their motive to buy, why they want to buy, and that's part of this whole process, value attraction, social attraction, find the pleasure, ask emotional question, discover their motive to buy. Why do they want to buy? And you then have to confirm when they want to buy. And that would be the urgency of the offer that you're presenting them. So I want to find out why and when. Those are two parts of the selling process that will enable you to figure out how to follow up or how to follow through. Because if I know they want it in 2 weeks, that's one thing. If I know they want it in 6 months, that's a whole other thing. So now I'm down to the sale. I've done it. But I'm not finished because I have to give after the sale value. What am I sending this person every week? If I've sold them a home, why aren't I sending them a weekly message on building equity or safety, home safety, or how you can spend less money and still keep your house warm in the winter? Why aren't I sending those three tips that burglars enter your home with and how to secure them or what kind of alarm to get or where to play golf in your neighborhood? And then if I do that enough, if I create after the sale value, I'm going to earn their loyalty and I'm going to earn their referral.
A lot of people think that after the sale value is like some sort of discount or money related.
Yeah.
But they're not thinking about how the customer is going to be using your product or service so that you can provide value when they're using it.
Correct. And the whole thing is lost if you follow up and try to make a sales pitch.
Oh, yeah, don't do that.
Or you send me a card and say, thank you very much for your purchase, but that's over. I run my business on referrals. And if you know anybody, I would really appreciate
it. Sounds so desperate.
Like, dude, quit doing that. It's 100 years old. Just send a thank you note. Don't say I run my business on referrals because you're not sincere about it. It's bullshit. Send a thank you note that sincerely thanks somebody from their business and tell them that it's going to their kids' college tuition fund or whatever the circumstances are, and say goodbye. And don't say again thanks, because that proves you have nothing to say. Say it once.
And again, thanks. I really mean it. Thanks. Thanks so much.
And I mean that. You're one of my top 1,000 customers I've ever dealt with.
Oh, my God.
Maybe make it 2,500.
What's that thing about, like, show me, don't tell me that?
Whatever. But obviously, you're wanting the next sale. And obviously, the guy knows that you've sold it to that you'd love more sales. Earn them. Don't beg for them. That's all I'm saying.
So there's the process.
Yeah, and it's an easy process. You've got it all. We'll post it somewhere.
Jeffrey goes into detail in it in his webinar and also in the upcoming event in Charlotte. So if that's something you're interested in, just let us know. Say, I want to come to Charlotte in the notes, and we'll make sure you get that event information because it's going to be jam-packed 2 days with unbelievable speakers.
And we're not putting it in a stadium. This is going to be something where you're going to interact with other smart, funny people that have a few bucks, and the price is not prohibitive. It's like $300.
Yeah.
For 2 days, and it's here for you.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. And if you're listening on the podcast and you're interested in the event, just DM me on Instagram at Jen Gittimer, and I will send you a link to the event.
Good morning from Richmond. I've been reading your books from back when I was living in Athens, Greece. Changed my life. Cool. And
That's
welcome
really
to
cool.
America. Have a great time here.
That's really, really cool.
Totally cool.
You guys, let us know which one you're going to be incorporating into your sales process. Which one do you feel you're missing the most out of value attraction, social attraction, find the pleasure, ask emotional questions, discover the motive to buy, confirm the urgency, give after the sale value, customer loyalty, earn referrals? Which one do you feel like you are missing the most that you need to incorporate right now, like yesterday?
And try to do it in a way where it's authentic, not bullshit.
So thank you guys for joining us. Until next time, I'm Jen Gittimer.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I'm reminding you to get out there and stop finding pain, start finding pleasure, and start earning sales, even if your ass falls off.